Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, welcoming Simon Constable of Barron's, Forbes, The Wall Street Journal, other distinguished publications. Simon is in the south of France in a city called Lautrec. However, he's keeping his eye not only on Edinburgh, Scotland, where he hangs his hat, but on the global story for us for the pandemic. We begin in France, however. Simon, a very good day to you. Sunlight of southern France notwithstanding. This is one of the epicenters of the virus in France. What can you tell us about the reporting of France and the virus, France and the vaccines? Has it peaked? Good day to you, Simon.
Good day to you, John. Well, I can confirm one thing for certain now, that the sun is shining here, and that should be helping with this COVID pandemic. However, the fourth wave, which is what France is in now, has not yet peaked. There's just over 2,000 COVID patients here in France being treated in intensive care units. However, the government seems to think that this figure will peak within the next few days and then probably stabilize, i.e. it won't go down, but it won't grow. So that is potentially some good news. But as we know, the news changes quickly. So Fourth wave still peaking, hopefully within the next few days here in France.
We go to Edinburgh, Scotland, that you left behind you for the sunlight of southern France. And Nicola Sturgeon, the first minister, has been keen to protect the people of Scotland. And yet the Delta variant gets through everybody's defenses. So what is the latest report about Scotland and about the Freedom Day that is qualified?
Well, the Freedom Day is still nominally Freedom Day, and it seems to be allowing people to do stuff. However, we are also in a fourth wave in Scotland, and it's come up remarkably quickly. So on August the 1st, there were 1,034 new cases, and then for August 24th, which was yesterday, there were 4,317 new cases. So a massive increase there, a fourfold increase in just, you know, really just 3 weeks. Which is utterly nuts. This does not look like it's anywhere near peaking in Scotland. I would expect that to go up as people enjoy what little sun there is, but they know there'll be even less come the autumn, the fall, and the winter. So that's not good either. Definitely in a fourth wave, and it's much bigger than the first wave or the second wave.
Now, my memory of Scottish weather, especially in the summertime, is that if you don't like these 10 minutes, wait 10 more minutes. So there is sunshine now and again in Edinburgh. I go to why people go to Scotland in the summertime, especially in August. I was at school in Scotland many centuries ago, and I arrived in Scotland in the Edinburgh Festival. This is the year 1973. The festival has grown considerably since then to become a global experience, except for these last years. Last year, there was no festival other than virtual. This year, the festival is underway, but they're making considerations for the festival in the future. How so, Simon?
Yeah, this is really interesting. They really want to change the way the festival is done to make it sort of climate and environmentally friendly as well as socially friendly. So they want it not to swamp the old town. The old town is very old in Edinburgh. It predates the Scottish Enlightenment. It predates the 1600s. The new town is new because it was the 1700s. So you've got these two fairly ancient areas that get swamped by people putting on different shows, you know, comedy shows, drama, music, the rest of it all the way through. And they want to make it so that that isn't going to be quite as damaging to the beautiful infrastructure that is there. You know, those beautiful tall buildings, they're very ancient. They're also a little bit fragile. So that'll be changing. They also want the people who are coming to put on shows to be more inclusive culturally and socially to the local environment. And so this is a really big change if this goes through, and it'll mean having more venues that are people friendly rather than just tiny little bars that you squeeze into and see something in the distance vaguely. So that'll be all changing. And it goes together with the big climate change conference that we've been seeing in Scotland.
We look from Scotland in dealing with the pandemic and the Edinburgh Festival, and it is a wonderful time, except for there are going to be changes, to the question of everybody consuming the Afghanistan news. It's a pall. It hangs over the United States. It hangs over Europe. I've been talking to London, Simon, and London is, at this point, paused to see what happens next. So I want to go to the larger story of the recovery, which is underway when we last talked, except the Federal Reserve now, in conversation virtually, because it will not be meeting in Jackson Hole this year again, the Federal Reserve is tiptoeing up to the question of tapering, that is to say, cutting back on the bonds buying. This is one way of talking about worldwide inflation concerns, transitory or not. You've been following the commodity stories. Has there been any mitigation of the commodity prices that we've witnessed these last months?
Really, no. We're seeing, you know about the droughts, the blistering droughts, the extreme bad weather across North America, South America, Russia, across Southern Europe. It all is having an impact on crops, a negative impact, i.e. the crops aren't making it to harvest. Now, we haven't had all of the harvests yet in North America, and we're seeing a little bit of a dip because most of the bad news is already out there with the harvest, because in the key growing periods, you know, when things, you know, first come out of the ground and then they grow a bit and then they grow a bit more, we already know about a lot of the damage there. So we're in a little bit of a fallow period now for news on this until the harvests are actually brought in. And prices will move sideways then. And then when we get the final answer of how much grain came off the farmland, then we will, you know, then we'll have a better idea of what the real price of these grains should be. I think they will be higher than now, which is very frightening, because it's going to cost you when you buy your pizza.
Is there any alleviation of the pressure on coffee? You talked about that the last time. Coffee shortages are already turning up because of the supply chain. What about the coffee harvest? Do we have an indication?
The indication we've got so far is that the coffee for this year has been really bad, and that for next year it's going to be really bad as well. These are things that tend to go together. It's not good. Bad weather will continue to go on. It needs to be just right when you grow most crops, and it's been anything but just right in Brazil. It's been either too dry or too cold. I guess it could be too hot in some places over the next year too, but I think the dryness and the coldness will likely continue.
And in your day job, you watch the markets, and you have a new piece about liquidity possibly inhibiting the markets, which are setting all-time highs. How so, liquidity?
Well, there's something called the Marshallian K, and it's a metric that looks at the difference between the growth in the money supply, that's the dollar bills and the bank account money that's growing, the growth in that and the growth in GDP, i.e. the economy. And if you see the growth in the money supply grow less quickly than the growth in the economy, you can have a liquidity crisis. One of the things that we need money for is kind of like the same reason you need oil for a car. You need to lubricate all the parts. money does that in an economy. It keeps things going around. You know, it greases the wheels of capitalism. And if it's not, if you don't get enough money in the economy, or if it's not growing as fast as the economy, then things can come to a screeching halt. And that is the big worry now, is people looking at this saying, okay, is the economy going to grind to a halt? I hope not. And historically, if you go back to the 90s, it doesn't always happen. But since the financial crisis, every time there has been one of these negative Marshallian Ks, then you get a big crash in the stock market. And I don't mean a catastrophic one that never recovers, just a temporary but big dip. So between 16% and 19%. So quite substantial. That won't be good.
Simon Constable, reporting for Barron's and Forbes and the Wall Street Journal and other distinguished publications. He is in the south of France observing the pandemic, the tragedy in Afghanistan, and the commodity prices at the dinner table. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.